So Beth just said to me, "This is going really well." And I said, "Up till now." That old thing about old dogs and new tricks and everything. Let me just encourage you, if you're younger, and especially if you're a child, memorize all the Bible you can now. It's easier when you're younger. But our text for this morning comes from Numbers chapter 21, verses 4 through 9. Then the people of Israel set out from Mount Hor, taking the road to the Dead Sea to go around the land of Edom. The people grew impatient with the long journey and began speaking against God and Moses. "Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die here in the wilderness?" they complained. "There is nothing to eat here and nothing to drink, and we hate this horrible manna." So God sent poisonous snakes among the people, and many were bitten and died. Then the people came to Moses and cried out, "Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away." So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord told him, "Make a replica of a poisonous snake and attach it to a pole. All who are bitten will live if they only look at it." So Moses made a snake out of bronze and attached it to a pole. Then anyone who was bitten by a snake could look at it, at the bronze snake, and be healed. Well, my sister and I sat in the back seat and grew impatient with the long journey. We were children, and my mother was driving us across the desert from California to Arizona to see my grandmother. And we had just eaten, but we complained and said we were hungry. And I'll put this mostly on myself rather than on my sister, but there was water in the car, but we said we had nothing to drink. And we complained and fought with each other and said to my mom that she was mean because she wouldn't stop at Stookie's and buy us expensive treats and soft drinks there. And we were just like the children of Israel. They complained. They were impatient. Well, impatience is a serious spiritual disease. Patience is a virtue for Christians, but impatience just wrecks everything. It particularly wrecks the most important virtues of the Christian life, which are faith, hope, and love. When you're impatient, like they were, they lost their faith in God, their trust in Him. When they were impatient, they lost their hope. "Why have you brought us out into the wilderness to die?" And they lost their love in their impatience. They got mad at God and Moses. They quit loving their Lord and their leader. And their impatience really didn't have a good cause, much like our impatience sometimes. They, just like I've already kind of indicated, they complained that they had no food, but they had manna, this most wonderful food. A psalm calls it the bread of heaven. They had the manna that had been given them. They complained that they had no water, but just in the previous chapter, they are given water out of a rock. And yet they're impatient and angry, and they complain. And I like the transition that goes where they're complaining. They they end up saying, "We hate this horrible manna, this wonderful food that God has given them." And then the very next sentence is, "God sent poisonous snakes." God kind of, that's His answer to that. He kind of gets fed up a little bit at that point. And yet, God is generally gracious in what he does with these people. If you look back over the story, there, grumbling is kind of a theme there in the whole story of the Exodus. They're grumbling not just now, but all the time. They grumbled at the very beginning when they first came out of Egypt and Pharaoh was hot on their tails. And they said the same thing. Why have you brought us out here to die? And what did God do? He parted the Red Sea for them. They grumbled when they had no food and the manna came in the first place. And God not only gave them the manna at that point, he gave them meat to eat in the form of quail. And some of them grumbled that they didn't like the fact that Aaron and his sons were the spiritual leaders, and why can't anybody do what they do, they said. And God gave them a miracle to indicate that Aaron was the leader. Aaron's rod, out of all the rods of the various leaders of the tribes, was the one that sprouted buds. And yet, at the very same time, while God is being gracious, there was also times like this one where God taught a harder lesson, a negative lesson. He punished the people. There's Psalm 99, verse 8 says, God was, he was a forgiving God to them, but he punished them when they went wrong. Both in the same verse. He forgave them, but he punished them when they went wrong. And so, if you look back then on some of those times, when they got all that manna to eat, God also punished. Some of them died from a plague that came at the same time. There was fire at the same time that killed some people. There was when that scene about Aaron's leadership occurred. Yes, God gave them that gracious sign that Aaron was the spiritual leader, but then some of those who were rebelling against him died as well. And then Moses himself got punished when God gave them water from the rock. Moses got punished for his impatience in striking the rock rather than just speaking to it as God told him to. So the punishment went along and is part of the grace. And the problem, of course, is not just their impatience, but that's a spiritual disease, but the deeper disease is their sin. What do they say when they come to Moses when the snakes appear? They realize it. The punishment helps them realize it, and they come and say, "We have sinned." And so God then, in response to Moses' prayer, gives an answer to that sin, gives a cure for their disease. And the cure is a curious cure. It's this bronze snake. Now, why a bronze snake on a pole? As somebody mentioned in the first service, God says no graven images. And this just seems like an invitation to a disaster, which it actually is. Later on in the fall, we'll read 1 and 2 Kings. And in 2 Kings, the bronze snake on the pole becomes an idol for the people, and they worship it. And so why God do that then? Well, there's something's going on here. Something's going on here. Johnny Cash sang a Kris Kristofferson song that goes, "I woke up Sunday morning with no way to hold my head that didn't hurt. The beer I had for breakfast wasn't bad, so I had another for dessert." Now, Johnny's singing about hair of the dog, short for the hair of the dog that bit you. And this is, as I understand it, I don't know this from experience, folks, but it's the idea that if you've got a hangover from drinking too much the night before, the way to deal with it is to get up and have another drink in the morning, and it helps your body calm down and feel better. And so there's an idea going on here that goes back to sympathetic magic, homeopathic medicine, and standard medical practice. The idea that you can be cured by taking in some of what made you sick in the first place. And so you got your flu shot. How many got a flu shot? Okay. Your flu shot was actually flu vaccine injected into you. It was dead when they injected it into you, but it produces a little immune reaction in you, builds up your antibodies. So if you do get exposed to that same virus alive, you'll have some resistance to it. And I had allergy shots when I was growing up. How many have had allergy shots? And so what's an allergy shot? Well, an allergy shot is just a little microscopic amount of whatever you're allergic to, cat dander or grass pollen or whatever it is, and you get that a little bit at a time until you build up a tolerance to that allergen, and then you do better, hopefully. And so something like that is going on there with that snake, okay? What bit you is what cures you. And you got bit by a snake, and so looking at a snake is going to cure you. Jesus took this up in the gospel that Kent shared. Jesus took this up and said that he's like that snake in the wilderness. He got lifted up so that anyone who looks at him, believes in him, will have eternal life. And what Jesus is saying there is that the cure for our sin, our own impatience and anger and unlove and loss of faith and hope, is to look at the consequences of that. Look at what happens when sin takes hold of our lives. Look at the suffering and pain and death that is caused by sin. And so Jesus lifted up on the cross is kind of that same idea of you look into what bit you. You look into what really happens with sin when you see our Lord Jesus dying on the cross. And so you kind of have to think really bit of not just the kind of the bare cross that I wear around my neck or we've got up front here, but the occupied cross, the cross on which our Savior hangs and bleeds and suffers because of sin. And so we need then to look at that, to realize that's where and how God is going to save us, to bring us out of our sins, to cure us of the sin that's bitten us. And so, as Christians, we don't run away from pain and sorrow and death. We don't, like some of ancient heresies and modern heresies today, say that it's not really real, that somehow evil, it's hard to believe in this world today, but some people still think that the pain and suffering and evil of the world is just kind of an illusion, and if you just get the right frame of mind, you'll be able to ignore it. No, Christians don't do that. Christians look right in the face of our suffering and our pain because that's where our Lord was, and that's where our Lord still is with us when we are suffering and in pain. And in that, then, we see God working our cure through Jesus, working to save us and to give us life, just the way that serpent, that bronze serpent that represented the snakes that bit the people, cured the people who looked at it. It all works by faith. Gary recited, "By grace are you saved through faith," and it says it twice in that passage. And so it wasn't magic when people looked at the serpent and were cured. They looked at the serpent and they believed. They believed that God was going to heal them, and they were healed. And in the same way, it works by faith when we look at Jesus and believe in him, and he saves us and heals us. And so, Johnny Cash, near the end of his life, recorded one of the last albums that he ever recorded. And in the liner notes to that album, he talks about the fact that some of you may know that his brother, his older brother Jack, was killed in a terrible accident when Johnny was just 12 years old. And that kind of stuck with Johnny all his life, that memory of his brother and that horrible thing. But Johnny says in these notes that in the years just after his brother's death, the family would go out to the fields to pick cotton. That's what they did. And Johnny would lead the family in singing. And he said that for the beginning of the day and most of the day, they sang whatever Johnny could remember from the radio, hillbilly songs, pop songs, blues, whatever. But then by mid-afternoon, when it started getting hard work and it was hot, and Johnny would start having them sing gospel songs together. And then Johnny says that the last songs of the day were always the songs that were sung at Jack's funeral. "I'll Fly Away," "On Jordan's Stormy Banks I Stand," "I'm Bound for the Promised Land." We sang it last Sunday. They'd sing those songs. And Johnny says, you know, that may sound pretty sad, but it was actually joyful because they were remembering that they were going to be with them. They were remembering that they were going to be with Jack because of their faith in Jesus Christ. And so on that album that the notes are for, Johnny says, we recorded a song that he actually wrote for his wife, June, entitled "Meet Me in Heaven." But he said that was also the words that were inscribed on Jack's tombstone: "Meet Me in Heaven." And in those same notes, Johnny said, what's at the heart of it all? He told about how he himself accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior when he was a young man. And that's the way to eternal life: faith in Jesus Christ. John 3:16, God so loved the world that anyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And so my hope is that will be what you do today, that you'll look again towards Jesus, believe in him, receive that blessed gift of eternal life in him, and that he will forgive you, he'll heal you, and he'll give you life forever with him. Amen.